Hi, and welcome to the How Not to Think podcast, podcast that gets you thinking about things like binary thinking, even conspiracy theories, and new ways of thinking about virtually everything. I'm Dr. Howard Rankin. If you're interested in pursuing more on this, you can check out my book on Amazon, I Think, Therefore I Am Wrong. Okay, let's get to today's show. I'm delighted to have with me Shannon Pierce, Dr. Shannon Pierce, who is a chiropractor and been leader in the health and wellness space for more than a decade. I'm working specifically in trying to educate and heal people through more holistic practices, especially women. Anyway, that's enough from me. Welcome, Shannon.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here. Just a few minutes we were talking beforehand. Get so excited to be around like-minded people. So glad to have you.
Well, that's great. It's great you're on the show. I'm really looking forward to it. This is a topic that is important to me and should be important to everybody, because it is about health and wellness. And if there's an area where we need to identify and get rid of false beliefs, biases, and myths, it's the health field. And I see that's really what you are trying to do. So tell us a little bit about how you got to be where you are today.
Yeah, I feel like most people in the holistic healthcare realm have a story that personally led them to get to this point, right? So for me, I really struggled with my health my entire life. I was diagnosed with fibromyalgia at 8 years old.
Wow.
By the time I was 10 years old, I was on 10 different prescription medications, everything from IBS medication, antidepressants, sleeping medication, pain medications at 10 years old, because at that point in my life, that's all my parents knew, right? I asked my mom now and she's like, I would never do that again. But in the moment with a sick child, they kept telling me to give you these things. And I just thought that was the right thing to do, right? So at 10 years old, my mom, a good friend of hers, said, well, have you taken her to a chiropractor yet? I was getting daily migraines, IBS. I was like, chiropractors? No, those people are weird. Like, we don't know what they do. That was not how our family worked at that point. But when we were at kind of that last resort, she said, okay, fine, we'll go. We'll just speak to this person. We might not get treatment, whatever. We'll just go meet with them. And when we sat down and he showed me my x-rays and he started going over how the brain really works, how the brain functions by communicating to the body and how that controls all these other functions. It was the first time in my short existence that something made sense.
Mm-hmm.
But not only that, it was the first time somebody gave me hope that maybe there could be an answer, right? Because mm-hmm. the doctor prior who diagnosed me with fibromyalgia looked at an 8-year-old child and said, fibromyalgia means it's all in your head and nothing's really wrong with you.
What?
At 8 years old, I'm like, the devastation of, like, can you imagine taking this child who's in pain with very real symptoms and telling them, like, it's all in your head, this stuff isn't real? That could have been it for me, right? If I would have allowed that to become truly who I was, how differently would my life be right now? So thankfully, that was my first introduction to holistic healing. Got under care. It helped tremendously with my migraines. It helped tremendously with several different health issues. So I decided I wanted to be a chiropractor, right? At the ripe old age of 10, I knew that's what I wanted to be. And I've never deviated. Everything they've asked you to write in school, I've always said that. But that was just the tip of the iceberg, right? So from that point forward, the things that I started learning and diving into through my own necessity, I actually, and we'll probably get into some of this, ended up having a very serious hormone crash, chronic infection, reactivation, postpartum after my first son, which a lot of women experience those things. And again, we're told you're a new mom, it's postpartum depression, all of these things, which for me, it wasn't. It was very real imbalances. So that was the next phase when I decided, oh no, there's got to be more to this. So through all of my own stumbling blocks and the necessity to want to find true ways to heal and balance, I've uncovered all these really cool things. And it finally got to a point that I felt convicted, like I can't not share this stuff.
Right, right.
So I've shifted pretty much fully from doing strict chiropractic to now actually work virtually online. And I help women all over the world find the root cause of their hormone imbalance and thyroid issues and adrenal issues. And there's just so many things that women need answers for. And that's where my passion is.
Well, that's awesome. So it's a great example yet again of how a difficult situation, poor advice actually inspired, fortunately, inspired you to find a better way and to find your purpose and meaning. And that's always awesome. And it is so desperately needed. I mean, I'm actually writing a book with a guy who for 12 years was misdiagnosed with Graves' disease and given, you know, maximum dose of whatever it is you get that he did not need.
Yep.
And screwed him up badly.
Okay. Yeah.
And that is common, I think.
I was just going to say, the saddest thing is that's so common. And you know what I try and teach people is no matter what you get diagnosed with, right? Let's say there were some signs it was Graves' disease, right? There's positive antibodies or whatever. I get a lot of women who have Hashimoto's, which is kind of the opposite of that. Mm-hmm. Let's say that is your diagnosis. The next question you should be asking, because that's like the end of the road for medicine, right? You have Graves' disease. Here's your medication. Here's your radioactive iodine, whatever it is.
Right.
And you will have Graves' disease the rest of your life. Let's manage it with a medication. Versus holistically, that's the start of the puzzle for me. Okay, you come with Graves' disease. Now we have to start asking, why is your body doing this? What is your immune system responding to? Why is it making antibodies? Because there is always a reason. Truly there is. I just don't think we ever investigate deep enough to find most people's reasons that we just think, oh, bad luck, poor genes, like I'm stuck with this forever. And that is probably one of the biggest lies we've been told in medicine is once you have a certain issue or diagnosis, that's your lot in life.
Yeah. And it's, and that's tragic. You know, the example I use, and I'm creating a course for health professionals, a communication course for health professionals right now, because if your doctor tells you, you know, you got 3 years left to live and you believe it, you're going to die in 3 years. Yes. And here's the thing. Facts aren't really facts. They're probabilities. So, you know, maybe 82% of people are going to die within 3 years. But what about the other 18% who, you know, live for 10 years or 15 years? Shouldn't we be talking about them and what they did and how they survived, you know? And
what they did differently too, because a lot of those statistics are based on really unhealthy people, right? So is this the person who continued to eat fast food and didn't change anything else and has a terrible home life? Versus, like you said, what was different, right? Those percentages that don't fall into that, there's something cool there, right? Like let's start watching those studies, right? Tracking that percentage and how care would change.
Yes. And so part of that is to raise the level of awareness about the limitation of medicine, right? Or the conventional approach to medicine as it's practiced today, which is making you comfortable and symptom relief rather than treating the problem.
Yep.
And, you know, a lot of the time, as you know, you can treat the problem.
Yeah. And honestly, it's the word preventative medicine has been thrown around so much that really our medical system is early detection and then management of disease. True prevention comes in everything that happens before you end up with that diagnosis or that disease. And that's not what's being taught. And that's what changes epigenetics. And that's what makes the really big differences. Mm-hmm. Yet that's the piece of healthcare that's never discussed. And it's almost as if it doesn't matter, right? You'll have even physicians tell doctors, patients with cancer, that it doesn't matter what they eat. You go into these wards and they're giving people, you know, donuts and popsicles while they're trying to heal from this immune issue. And it just is mind blowing that we've just lost that connection.
Yeah, it's interesting on the genetics thing. I've worked with two great neurologists, Dean and Aisha Sherzai, who wrote a book on the Alzheimer's solution, which is about lifestyle.
Yeah.
And they say, based on all the evidence, that Alzheimer may be about 3% totally genetic. And the rest is lifestyle.
But
how many people say, oh, but my dad had Alzheimer's or my grand, so I'm going to get it. No, doesn't mean that at all.
But if you live the exact same crummy lifestyle and you eat the same things and you have the same stressors and you have the same family dynamic, then your likelihood is much higher, right? Like, can we start piecing these things together, people? Like, there's clearly some bigger things.
Yeah. And I'm sure you have worked with people and transformed them and seen them go to this mindset of I got a chronic illness and it's never going to be any better to, you know, totally different life, right?
Yeah. Yes, often, right? Like that's the norm and not the oddity anymore. When you really start with, and it is, it's as basic as if you do nothing else and just start with lifestyle modification, you're going to see improvement. When you start really figuring out the deep down stuff, I love, I'm such a nerd about functional testing, because the more I can see internally on you, what do you actually need versus why are you taking 15 supplements you don't need and thinking that you're eating this thing that's right or following this diet because your friend did well on it. And not that any of that's bad, but you can do a whole lot of stuff and have none of it be right for you.
Absolutely.
Versus getting that snapshot and seeing like, this is what my body is missing. This is what my pathways look like. Here's my adrenal pattern. Then you start making really intentional choices and the transformation can be that much quicker, right? That much more evident when you're not guessing at a bunch of stuff too, which I think is where people get frustrated with natural healthcare, is if they're trying to do it themselves. If you just, we talked about this earlier, research, right? Which means you Googled it, which means anyone who paid for their stuff to come up highest is going to come up highest.
Right,
let's say you look like how to reverse Graves' disease, Hashimoto's, Alzheimer's, whatever. You're going to get 100 different things that you could do. So then it's paralysis by analysis. Or you try it and you're like, but it didn't work for me. I think that's where people give up on the natural piece because they're trying to do it themselves, right? And sometimes you just need that guidance too. You need good testing. You need someone to walk you through because it is more intricate, right? Mm-hmm. When you're trying to do the deep dive and having the accountability and the support is so important just because there's such bad information out there.
Yes, no, and you're using the same sort of rather unempowered mindset that you use in conventional medicine, where you've got so many more opportunities, as you say, in natural health to understand what are these functional assessments? What do they really mean? What are they pointing at? You know, it's not just, oh, a diagnosis, or there's the medicine, okay, go away and come back in a month. It's let's try to understand what's really going on and address that problem. We got to do the deep dive, because just based on a diagnosis, so many factors can influence a diagnosis.
Yep.
That aren't actually related.
And a diagnosis is just a label, because I can have, I work a lot with thyroid issues and hormone imbalance. I can have a woman come to me with almost the exact same diagnosis, right? Thyroid levels almost the same on the same dose of levothyroxine, and they have completely different causes for their imbalance. That's the piece I need people to get, right? That's what you have to truly understand is, your physiology is so unique. Your anatomy, your physiology, your past things that have, you know, traumas, and there's emotional pieces to all of this, plus the physical imbalance. All of that has made up this framework to allow the expression of any imbalance, whatever you might call it, right? Whatever disease you want to name it, to, in my opinion, doesn't matter, right? I don't care what you call it. I need to know how it became that. And that's where you have to trace back. And I've never seen two people come to me with the exact same
thing
pattern that caused it ever. Like not one single time has it been exactly the same causes. That's what I love to do, right? That to me is fascinating. It's like, let's put these pieces together. Let's figure this out.
Yeah, for you as an individual, not taking what science says as a generality or a probability. And that's the problem, is it's just based on probabilities and rather limited insight, you know?
Very, yes. Yeah. And I think a lot of people think of holistic or natural healthcare as just being supplements. I hear that a lot, right? Like, so that's the most common question I get. What can I take to X, Y, and Z? And one of the things I'm very intentional about is I don't recommend or even tell somebody a supplement, an herb, a homeopathic, if I haven't seen their labs, because you can use, just because it's more natural, you can use that just like a medication if you're just trying to cover a symptom. And I think that's where we've also got lost, is there's tons of supplements and things on the market, and some of them are good and some of them aren't.
Right.
But you still don't know unless you know. And taking a bunch of stuff could be more detrimental. But I really believe everyone's first step needs to be a deeper dive, right? The look, the functional look at their body. And if we did that in healthcare in general, you would see numbers and chronic illness and things change so dramatically if we just started with really good labs and then made a plan from there.
Right. And again, not, as you say, not just the labs, but okay, what are the factors, the lifestyle factors, the whatever emotional factor, whatever factors there are that are contributing to this, right? Yeah. And that's clearly the way to investigate anything, but certainly an illness, is look at what's actually going on in the body and then try to work out why. Why it's happening, what are the factors that are contributing to it, and then create a plan accordingly.
And that is true holistic healthcare, right? When it's done right, that should be the intention. That's my favorite word, why. That's always, if I'm talking to one of my patients or they're saying like, I'm still not better, or this thing's still happening. Like, let's sit back for a second. Let's ask why the body is doing this, and it will uncover for us. It will tell us if we listen and we ask and we take time explore and not just get frustrated.
I suspect you've had quite a number of people who come to you out of frustration with conventional medicine, but still not totally convinced of the alternative approach. I'm sure you've got some great stories of people who were, you were able to change their ideas by your practice with them, right?
Yeah. So I have one lady in particular I always think of. She came to me with the wonkiest thyroid labs I've ever seen. I mean, some things were high, some things were low, things were all, like, it didn't even make sense, half of the values and the ways that they were going, right? So she kept going back to her general, you know, endo, and he was just leaving her on the same prescription for decades. I mean, it's probably been 20 years with no prescription changes. And he just saying, well, if you felt okay, I mean, we're just going to keep you here, because her, the only value on her entire lab that was normal was her TSH, which is like the least important one of all of them.
Right.
But his whole thing was, if your TSH is normal, we have you properly medicated. Yet every other thyroid hormone, antibody, pituitary value, everything else was wonky. So we went deep dive on her, and it turned out there was some crazy stuff going on that was never investigated. She had major chronic viral illness that has a tremendous impact on thyroid. She had some scarring on her pituitary from an injury when she was younger that was really making it hard for her, you know, brain to communicate to her body. Tons of inflammation. We worked on this, and I would love to tell you it was like 3 weeks and she was healed, we were months into this thing for sure. But about, I would say it's probably about 6 months in, we get her labs back and all of her values are back to normal range.
Wow.
She took her pre and post labs back to her doctor, right? Who had never run the expanded panel. He'd never even seen most of the values that we were working on. And when she showed her the original panel we took, he looked at her and he said, oh, I guess your thyroid really was messed up, right? For the first time in 20 years that she's been seeing this gentleman. And then she shows him the post and he said, there's no way. Wouldn't even admit that, like, potentially she did it a different way and got better. He said, no way. There's no way that's your post labs that have them draw it again. Like, I'll draw it again all day, every day. Like, let's draw it again and show it to you again. But I feel like they have just, if it wasn't a medication that fixed it, there's such a disbelief that anything but that can work.
Yes.
When I see stories like that all of the time, that just making the other modifications, finding the cause, and things really can turn around and heal. That's one of the things I believe fully. Our body was designed to heal. I believe as long as there is not massive limitation to matter, right? There's some things that if you've let it go too far, potentially there's not full healing, but let's not let it get that far. Because if you catch it before that, the body regenerates by the second, right? Like we're healing constantly as long as you're supporting a healing environment and not one that's full of inflammation.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, mindset is very important there too. You know, you've got to have the patient on board understanding that. Otherwise, they're going to have a very negative mindset and that's not going to help. That's going to influence, again, the mind-body processes, right?
Yep. So I have a process that I walk everyone through, right? There's kind of like different things I have to teach them in each phase. And on purpose, my entire first month of work, actually it starts with nutrition and inflammation, because those are, so we get their testing and then we go whatever protocols based on their testing, and their homework for me is to work on inflammation and nutrition. Step two is mindset, because it's just as important as any nutritional changes you're going to make. For me, mindset actually comes before exercise. We'll get there. We'll talk about movement. It's important, but your mindset trumps that all day, every day, because if you're stuck in those patterns, physically, there's research, there's tons of research that shows those things can block your healing. Those can shut down your nervous system. They depress literally your body's ability to regenerate healthy cells if there's negative emotion, stored trauma, poor mindset. If you believe you're stuck with this disease forever, your body is listening to that and it's making what you think come true, whether you realize it or not. So one of the main things I walk people through is how to shift that mindset, how to release trauma and emotion, how to do, I love brain balancing work, nervous system balancing work, because we're just bombarded by things that dysregulate our nervous system, right? All the things that we're exposed to daily is causing a dysregulation, and that impacts healing tremendously.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, your mindset's going to generate your emotions. Your emotions then are going to, you know, influence the cellular communication that's going on in many different ways.
Yep. So many layers. This stuff excites me. I love it. I could talk about
And I could see why it would excite somebody. It should. And then particularly if you've had that personal experience and realize how devastating that could be. I mean, at 10 years old, to be on that many medications, and the implication of that, even if your doctor didn't say it, is this is how the rest of your life's going to be, right? Unless he actually said, well, don't worry, we're going to, you know, it's going to get better at some point, but he didn't say that. I don't think he thought that either. So there's your mindset right off the bat. And that is not the way to get people on board. It's not the way to give people hope. And hope is very important, right? Yeah. It just isn't. And it's amazing that so much of this medical practice is in fact detrimental.
What I think it comes down to, because I do think that most doctors get into healthcare wanting to help people, right? So you'll hear a lot of my comments on social media, people say like, well, doctors are just in it for money and they don't care about the patient. I don't think at the core that's it at all, right? Like you'll get a few bad apples, but I don't think that's it. I think when you have invested your entire life, I mean, our education is grueling, right? Like you go and you learn and you spend this time, you spend this money, and you spend this effort, and you're told, they're taught diagnosis, medication, and truly they believe through their training that that is what they're supposed to do. Their job is to figure out the diagnosis, which is difficult, right? That's not an easy thing to do. So they're trained for years on just diagnosing. And then the step after diagnosis is, well, what's the pharmaceutical that goes with the diagnosis? And because that's so complicated, it takes majority of their education to learn just those pieces. So that's what healthcare has become: diagnosis, medication, thrown a surgery if you know that's appropriate too. But because that's their training, and I do believe because that's what they've learned so deeply, they do think that that's the best thing for the patient. I don't think they're doing it maliciously at all.
No.
It's education, it's indoctrination, it's being taught one way. And you and I talked about this prior, is even for the things that I do, this wasn't taught to me in school. This was taught to me again after my own necessity later on in life. And so specifically through chiropractic school, we weren't taught a whole lot about the functional medicine side of things, the lab testing side of things. That wasn't part of our core education. But when I had my health crisis after having my son, when I had my hormone imbalance, when I had my thyroid imbalance, I had to go figure this stuff out because I realized I wasn't getting answers anywhere else. Even in the more natural realm that I already lived in, I wasn't getting answers. And that's when it became very obvious to me is if this could happen to me, who has a pretty robust education in this, I've lived well, we eat well, we exercise, we take wonderful vitamins, right? We do all the things. Yet I had a major hormone and thyroid crash. Imagine what happens to everyone else who has very limited education on those types of things. And that's where, for me, the light bulb went off, like, I'm on a rampage to change women's healthcare because this is ridiculous, the treatment that we get. And I think if nothing else, I just want women to know there's another option, whether they choose it or not, right? If you're happy with the medical model, I love you just the same, but there's another way.
Yes. And you know, in some way, no criticism of physicians. I think they're trying to do it the right way, but you know, education can't cover everything. In fact, what happens if you're open to it is your experience changes your views. I mean, I was in the behavior change world for 20 years, trying to change people's behavior. And then I thought, you know what? Nobody has ever even suggested, let alone talked about, how the effective ways of communicating with people to get them to change, yes. Which seems to me pretty damn important.
Right. But isn't that the times you're like, why hasn't someone else talked about this before? Like, that's what I keep saying to myself. It's like, how is this not way more obvious than it is right now? Like, there's got to be more people seeing what I'm seeing and wanting to make that change. And thankfully, I'm seeing a lot of others. We're having similar conversations, which is really fun. Like, it's starting to get movement in that direction, but it needs to get blasted just like that. It's like, how about the communication piece of the puzzle? Like,
right.
Needs to solve a lot of stuff.
Right. Yes. Yeah. And so much of this sort of is based, you know, from the sort of old reductionist way of thinking, that we dig down and we find this one thing that's responsible and we treat that. Yep. But that's a very limited view. It's helpful in the beginning, but then you have to ask yourself, okay, well, what are the other factors that are influencing that? What else may be going on? How else do you conceptualize it? And you're doing that, but, you know, overall disease care, because that's really is what it is. Yeah. The disease care system isn't doing that.
Just look at the way our healthcare system is set up. You have a doctor for your heart. You have a doctor for your thyroid. You have a doctor for your gut. You have a doctor for your mental health. You have a doctor, you have a doctor for each compartment, when the way true physiology and anatomy is that all of those communicate and have a direct effect on the other, that most of the pieces are getting missed just because they are looking so compartmentalized at the patient and missing the other factors that are contributing to that. I mean, it's all, you've got to look at the connection. That's how we're designed. That's exactly how we were created to function. And that got lost along the way.
Yes, clearly it does. And then you get into the bureaucracies of, you've got to be diagnosed to, qualify as a patient that gets reimbursed. And now we have to create all these diagnoses, medical diagnoses, that have them very specific criteria. Because we're not going to do anyone any harm, which might mean you don't treat them at all. A physician, I've diagnosed this person with X. This is the treatment for X. If I deviate from that, I could be liable, right?
And I do think that that's one of the things that really pigeonholes them is there are so many things they're not allowed to do or don't have the time to do or can't bill for. People often ask, like, was your testing covered by insurance? And no, most of the time, right? And not because why don't you take insurance? I would take it all day, every day. This doesn't fall under their umbrella.
Right.
It is what it is. And that is something that has been on my heart recently is how do I get more people access to holistic healthcare? Because right now, for some people, there is a financial barrier, right? If you can't pay the things out of pocket, it's unfortunate that my husband and I have been discussing this a lot in the last 6 months or so is what type of system or program can we create? Someone's got to do it. Might as well be me to help people get at least access to the things we know they're missing for their healthcare that doesn't just have to be the standard medical model. I think that will help people realize that there's more out there.
Yeah, well, it adds a sort of veneer, and I think veneer is the right word, of sort of credibility if the insurance company pays for it. But that's so misleading it's really about a lot of other factors rather than that,
So even as a chiropractor, when we were just doing straight adjustments, I would always tell people, like, if you want me to only provide the service for you that your insurance will reimburse me for, this isn't going to end well. Like, you're not going to like your results. You're not going to get better. They're going to reimburse me $30. Like, that's what they do, right? Like, that relationship doesn't work, nor does it allow me to provide you truly what it actually takes to get well, right? Like, you get bare minimums for them to dictate how many times I can touch you and get paid for it. It's just absurd. It's like, you're trying to treat a patient as an entirety. The insurance system does not fit the holistic model. They're just not even talking the same language.
No, it doesn't. It's really totally counter to it, isn't it?
Yeah.
So have you come up with any ideas yet, or are you not ready to share them?
Well, I've been been talking about it a lot. My husband's like, stop telling people before we actually.
Oh yeah, that's true.
But yeah, I mean, I think it comes down to that is creating a reimbursement system. We have a lot of great partnerships with these lab companies we've used for years, different homeopathic companies and things, is having that be maybe an adjunct to different plans, or having it be a totally separate plan that people can opt in for if you prefer to use your funding to more natural, where you can get actual testing, where your money can go towards herbs instead of medications, if that's your choice. You should have that option. And right now there's a very limited, right? You get a little bit of HSA, but not everyone has that option. I think there needs to be an entire plan thought out with the right resources, connecting them to doctors who have training in the holistic side of care. So yeah, I think it's there. I think there's a desperate need for it. And now it's just all the red tape stuff. Right. That's kind of where we're at right now. Like, all right, what is the logistics and the legalities and all that sort of stuff? And I think that's probably why no one's done it on a large scale yet, because it's an undertaking. But I don't know, I feel pulled that it needs to happen. And I think it needs to be us. So
Oh, that's great. That's awesome. And I agree with you 100%. That's fantastic. Now, you do a lot, and perhaps even all, a lot of your work virtually, right?
I do all my work virtually. Yep. So I work with women all over the world. We do it all virtually. The kits can get sent right to them. We can send requisition forms to take to LabCorp or whatever. So there is no lack of services, not being one-on-one like it used to be. Everything is so much easier to do now. We do all of our consultations virtually. We've created a teaching platform that every patient gets to work through that teaches them the nutrition, the mindset, exercise we go through. So they really get a full life transformation. Wow. They work with my holistic nutritionist. They work with me or my team of doctors. So it really is like a full service healthcare. If you want to go the holistic healthcare route, we'll give you all the tools.
That's great. And I really, really like the education on mindset and behavior change. I mean, you know, physicians aren't trained in that. They don't have the time for that. They probably don't want to do it. And so I, you know, within the conventional healthcare system, I think it would be really important to be able to reimburse, you know, life coaches or experts in behavior change that could take that on, because, well, here are a few recipes, you know, try them out, or, you know, try this diet out. Yeah, it's not going to work. Several years ago, a couple of friends of mine wrote a book called Telling Ain't Training. Okay.
So and true, telling, though.
Right? Telling ain't fixing. Telling ain't curing. Telling ain't motivating. It isn't.
And telling isn't even educating.
Right? No, it isn't.
If you're not saying it in a way that they're understanding, you're not getting them anywhere.
No, and they have to understand that. And then really buy into it and be inspired by it and feel enthused by it to do those things, you know, with energy and with hope and with positivity, rather than, oh, the doctor told me I need to, you know, stop eating, whatever.
The very first video on the platform when people get on, and it's so simple, but it's something I think is so important, is the very first exercise we have them do is write down their big why. Right? Like just anchor back to, because it's going to get hard, right? You're going to want that food. Sometimes you're not going to feel great through the healing process. We know there's going to be those ups and downs that I need you to have what you anchor back into. And something as simple as understanding far beyond, I want to fit into my clothes or I want to lose weight, but no, what's the actual reason? Why did you pick up the phone and call in the first place? Because something was so heavy on you that you took that first action. I need you to remember that every time it gets hard, right? How is it that you want to show up for your grandkids? You want to be the grandma running in the field with them, playing and having fun, and not the one sitting in the wheelchair watching everyone else, you know, do life around you. Or you've got to anchor to something that means more to you than any food, than any, you know, activity that you want to participate in. And a lot of people don't have that, or have never thought, sat down long enough to really think, what is that?
Yep.
And when you get that, things become a little bit easier, right? It's simple. It's one piece of the puzzle, but getting that will get you a big step in the right direction.
You have got to tie it to something that probably is already there, you know, a big belief or, a, you know, purpose or meaning or something that's really meaningful to you, rather than just floated out there as a sort of neutral piece of advice that they've heard a gazillion times. That's not going to work, right?
No. And if it has anything to do with symptom reduction, you're on the wrong path. Like, it's just, that's not what it's about, right? I know you it's about not being in pain, but it's what not being in pain will allow you to experience, right? So it's teaching them also, right? Educating them. How do you go three layers deeper than what you think it is? Because it's not that one. It's almost never the first thing they tell me either, right? You're like, good, but let's keep digging here.
Right.
And then when they hit it, you know, because there's an emotion to that,
oh,
right?
Yeah, that's right. You see it.
That doesn't elicit an emotion. We didn't find it yet.
Yep, we haven't found it yet. That's exactly right. The other thing is, as you can tell from my book, I think therefore I'm wrong. I think one of the other things is people overestimate consciousness and, you know, their own appraisal of things. I mean, often we're way off, you know, and we're not even conscious of the major factors that are going on that are creating these things, right? I mean, you know, sure, we understand that maybe I should eat better, but in terms of most people understanding the mind, body, and the complexity of it, they have no clue. And again, why should they, right?
And it feels weird to them at first, right? I'm sure you've experienced this too. Sometimes you'll give them a concept or something and it's very foreign to them or feels like, no, you're just like, that's way out to left field. There's no way that's connected. And I'll get, that's the piece of all of this I'll get the most resistance on, right? When I ask somebody to sit down and really dive down into some emotional stuff or work through family trauma. And there's some resistance there, right? I think that's a nervous system protection mechanism.
Yeah, for sure.
It's like, no, I don't want to do this.
Yep.
Oh, but you have to. And a big piece of my story was that there was a lot of things that instead of dealing with, I just worked harder, right? Did more, did the things, got through school faster, got better grades, did the things. And all of that was just kind of this facade to just cover up some of the things I had never dealt with. And when that was brought to my attention after my major hormone imbalance, after I had my son, it was like the last thing I wanted to work on, right? I wanted to know, like, well, what diet should I follow? Or what's the new supplement I can take?
Right.
And I really didn't want that to be the thing, right? I didn't want to have to deal with it. But as soon as I did, all of a sudden, all these other pieces started to unlock. And then my efforts seemed to actually get more movement and I could heal faster. And I could maintain some of the things I was working on instead of just having that up and down, because that emotional piece kept pulling me back, right? Kept holding me back from really that breakthrough. So personally, I have, I mean, truly felt it, right? Like, you feel it when you get that breakthrough, you're like, I get it.
That's right. That's right.
And
you do.
I love watching other people figure that out.
Yep. Yeah. No, that's true. You do. And you really need that, because it's not just about change. It's about the maintenance of that change. And you may not maintain that if you don't get that emotional push, you know, and that response of, oh my gosh, yeah, this is working. I'm feeling better. I'm getting control.
Yeah.
You know, it's not hopeless, whatever those are. And yeah, unless you get that emotional response, it's going to be a struggle. And sometimes people don't understand. Sometimes you need to frame that for them, you know, because they, you know, their views of themselves or what they should be doing or what they should be feeling are distorted.
And most of the people, by the time they get to me, right, I'm well aware, I'm never their first choice, right? They've gone to all the other doctors. I've tried all the other things.
Right,
I normally do get them at that very frustrated piece. And the most common thing I'll hear is, this is my last effort, right?
My last chance.
That's it. I'm going to, like, if this doesn't work, nothing else has worked. I have no idea where to go from here. And that is where the reframing has to start too, right? So I understand how you get to that point. I feel like I've been there before, but coming at this with new eyes, let's get a little bit of hope back, right? Let's get some momentum back. I just coaching them through that as well. But that is the typical place people are at when they choose holistic healthcare, because they felt so failed by everything else that they've done. So I also feel like my first, usually like month worth of work with someone is just earning their trust that this is legitimate, this is going to work, like, hang in there. So that's a lot of why we work so much on mindset and things in the beginning, is they've got to just almost get re-excited about it too, right? You've got to have a level of excitement to have the commitment, to have the momentum.
Right. Absolutely.
Giving it one more shot.
Absolutely. Yeah. And absolutely. But getting them to buy into that is really critical. And then amazing things happen. Amazing thing happen. And Jeff Frankout was a military physical therapist who was charged with, you know, trying to resolve better these combat injuries that were coming in when at the height of the Afghan and Iraq wars. And he did something that you would approve of, I think. He had a medical panel as well, but he did not look, and he was getting a lot of neuromuscular injuries. He did not look at the x-rays, okay? Yep. Did not look at the x-rays. And he created this program of exercises for people. And it was amazing. I mean, he had the similar approach, you know, helping them understand the factors that influence pain and all of that. And the results are unreal. You know, people who crush spines, back running, back jumping out of planes. I mean, unreal, because the way we think about our mindset significantly impacts the condition.
Significantly. Now, I mean, probably more important than anything else you could do.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You can't take a person, stress them out to the core mindset, and expect healing. It's crazy. You just can't, right? And no matter how much you want it for them, no matter how much they even change their food or all the other things, like if you don't have that piece, I see it all the time. That's the barrier. That's the block. And it's the one piece I feel like I can't do for you, right? That's the hardest part. Is I wish I could just like shake it in there, like, you know, energy exchange it to you. But it's the piece that requires them to go inside a little bit, and that scares people. But yeah, I fully agree. I think just getting that piece of the puzzle, I'm actually creating an app right now that's a 30-day, just really simple for people who this is like your first introduction to mindset, right? How do you just start? Because I think the word mindset confuses people as well. It's like, well, what does that mean? Where do I start? Does that mean I have to start in meditation? It's confusing. So I'm starting a very simple, just like, how do you even begin to build a morning routine? What does it even mean to be a more mindful person? Like just the simple, not even the deep dive yet, right? Just how do you get the average person who's never done any mindset work to start thinking in that direction? And I think that will be helpful for people who aren't quite ready, right, to take the full dive. I know not everyone's there. So how do you get the people on the cusp who know they need to do something? I think that's going to be really fun to watch that unfold too.
Yeah. And I think going back to the who's really into it and who isn't, it's easy to misinterpret that. Well, you know, it didn't work because they weren't into it, you know, or they weren't into it because it didn't work. No, it didn't work because they weren't into it. Right.
Yes.
You know, and I think that's really, really important. I really do.
I think it's probably a bold statement, but I don't think it ever doesn't work for somebody. It just doesn't always work on their timeline.
Mm-hmm.
Or there was a piece that was missed and you stopped looking before you found the next one. But I don't think there's any other way to do it but this, right? And that's not, right. That it just is. Like this is following the design of the nervous system, true anatomy and physiology. This is how we were created to heal. This is the way to heal. It might not look the way you want it to, might not happen as fast as you want it to. And it might require you to do things you're uncomfortable doing. But truly, there is no other better way.
No, I think you're exactly right. And again, getting people on board and excited about it is really, really critical. And if they're not going to do that, then it's going to be a challenge, to say the least, probably. This is awesome, really awesome. Tell our listeners how they can reach out to you and find you.
Yes. So we do a lot on social media. So I have a Instagram. It's DrShannynDC, Dr. Shannon DC on Instagram. I do a lot on there. I do a Monday live on Instagram teaching female health topics every week. So lots of information on there. And then on Facebook, I have a thyroid and hormones women's support group that I do a lot of extra holistic trainings and things through there. Those are the best ways to get in touch. And then I did send you over or can resend you over. I have a really fun PDF that is my specific morning routine. It's 5 steps to helping balance hormones and adrenals through a morning routine. So everyone has access to that. It's one of my favorite things to give out as well. But lots of stuff on social media and actually TikTok. If you're on TikTok, my TikTok is blowing up.
I saw that. I saw that. Me and a couple of my colleagues have been talking about, should we be on TikTok and what have you, and we're discussing it. And I saw that you got like 20,000 followers on TikTok. That's pretty amazing.
Some of my videos have like 300,000 views on them. I mean, I was resistant at first and it went really far and fast. So that's been really fun. So anyone on TikTok, it's also Dr. Shannon DC. And I do lots of really short, fun content on there.
Yeah, it was good. I looked at some of it. It was really good. So excellent. So TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, that's it, right?
Those are the main places. Yep.
And what about a website? You have a website, right?
So we have our journeytowellnessplan.com. That's more of our kind of broader website for all of our services. And then I do most of my female health stuff under my Dr. Shannon platforms.
Okay, that's excellent. Excellent. And all this will be in the show notes anyway, but I wanted to the listeners to hear it from you. Any last thoughts from you for our listeners, and particularly our female listeners?
I honestly, it always comes back to me that if you're struggling with anything, if you still have an imbalance, if you have a diagnosis, if you have a chronic issue that isn't resolved, it really comes back to asking why, right? Don't give up. It is not the end. There is an answer. There is a resolution to this. You just haven't found enough of your answers, because sometimes there's more than one that I highly recommend. I'm the biggest advocate for functional testing, right? Figure out truly what's going on. Ask why your body is doing whatever it is that it's doing, and don't stop until you find the answers. That's how you heal.
Yeah. Well, that's outstanding advice. And thank you so much for sharing your experience and wisdom with us. I think it's really important. I think you're doing some great stuff. And I know you'll continue to do it. And hey, perhaps you'll even set up a financial system. Yeah. So your expenses for holistic medicine will be covered too. That would be amazing.
Yeah, working on it.
Okay, well, thank you so much, Shannon Pierce. Awesome to see you.